Ben Peters is with us each week leading up to the election, reconfirming his status as the Kaumatu of New Zealand politics. How are you doing, Winston Tenakwe?
Sure, I am. Good morning to you and your listeners.
Do your opponents defer to you in that way and to give you the respect due after four decades in Parliament?
If you're waiting around for respect in politics, you're wasting your time.
Okay. All righty. Winston, let's, well, obviously, literacy or financial literacy at schools. Other parties have come out and said, oh, yeah, good idea. Where does New Zealand First sit with it?
It is a sound idea. There are fundamental things that young people need to learn. And, you know, going way back a long time ago, different parties introduced savings at school. Every kid had a savings box. It was sort of part of their civics learning. And it's very important because people need to understand how money works. And so I think it's a good idea. And it doesn't and won't take too much time, but it's essential that fundamentals like hygiene and these things are also taught because it's part of being becoming an adult, so to speak.
You come from a very distinguished musical family. How did you let Shane Jones do that piece?
You know, as Clint Eastwood said, a man's got to know his limitations. And I was asked whether I was going to do it, and I said, no, certainly not. But, well, it's TikTok. It's a new utility on social media, and everybody's taste is different.
To be honest, I thought it was a bit of a masterstroke. He's reaching young people that, I mean, I don't do TikTok. You probably don't as well, to talk on it. But, you know, it's got some connect, hasn't it? And, you know, politics, too, is about bringing all on board. Do you think that there are policies from New Zealand First appealing to our youth?
Most certainly, because of our fundamentals, some education and health and those sorts of things are critically important for young people, and particularly for your listeners. And so using TikTok, well, you have to use all the utilities you've got, and there are some people who frown at that, but it's brief, it's short, it's inspirational for the right approach. And yes, I do use TikTok, and we use it much more the next month.
So these are important tools. What else would you say? When you look at politicking, campaigning, Winston, you know, and look back 30, however long, many years, I'm saying 30, but it's probably more than that, what's changed in the style of campaigning that we are witnessing in 2023?
Well, it's not just changed, it's got worse, and that is you've got a lot of media coverage of what are not political meetings, really. You've got people going and sitting in front of the classroom reading the book. All of a sudden, it's on the 6 o'clock news. Question, what on earth was that about today? And what was the issue that put them in front of the TV? It's not news. It's just make-believe stuff. And avoiding the public who actually vote, those who are 18 years and older. So you see what happens. If media allow that to happen and they encourage it because it's easy, it doesn't require any thinking, they give it that coverage. And frankly, that's a disappointing thing because in real campaigns and real democracies, and we should be one of them, it should be about going out and confronting, talking and listening to the people, and it's simply not happening. And if you have a look at those other political parties, how many are holding public meetings? How many are showing up and answering questions for about half an hour, 3 quarters of an hour? Well, they aren't. And or if they're doing it, they're doing it in minimal numbers. So it's really a facade of democracy without the essence of it. And that's not good.
What about your Māori rallies? I get a feeling that a lot of ours are a bit nervous when people come knocking at the door. So the old style of campaigning probably doesn't sit too well with a lot of whānau Māori. Do you do a lot of door knocking or advise your candidates to do so?
Yeah, they do all sorts, we do all sorts of things. But we do hold serious meetings around the country, and those are on our Facebook. And our Facebook, despite everybody else having all the money in the world, still the leading Facebook political leader in this country by miles. And they've spent sometimes up to $300,000 trying to boost their numbers, and it's not going. So in a Māori context, well, what's the Marae meeting about? The Marae meeting is about discussion, hearing the other side, and answering and listening and debating questions in a formal, organised and polite style. So that's what it should be about. But what we've got today, as I said, are suddenly what they call photo opportunities, where politicians are making the news going to the opening of an envelope. It's just not credible.
Willie Jackson Googles himself so he can up the number of visits to his site.
I appreciate that, but in the end, that facade of popularity will not work. It's real stuff that does.
You, is it true that you want to list English as an official language? What's up with this one?
Because, you know, something, there is a plain language legislation. It requires language to in legislation to be understandable. But right in the middle of it, you're allowed to use Māori whether anybody understands it or not. So 95% of the people reading that document are trying to follow plain English to understand it. And all of a sudden, if communications is the understanding are connected, that is, all communication should be about understanding. If you throw in a whole lot of Māori words, then the person has lost all idea what they're reading. Then you're not going to have plain language, you're not going to have understanding, and you're not going to get through the message. And if it's a message to do with safety and health and those fundamental things, and if it needs to be in Māori, then put it in Māori. But stop mixing up together as though it is part of what I call the plain language intent. That's why we have to say that. And I will develop it further in this campaign, because the mass majority of Māori can't understand it either. And that's the point. You're putting out a message to do with safety, hygiene, and all those important things, and you're just making sure, because of your elitist preference out of the, some bureaucracy in Wellington, that mass majority of people can't understand what you're doing, using taxpayers' money all the while doing it.
Well, it's too late to send that message to Dun Me Haka, Winston.
I know, I saw that, I wish to pass on my condolences to his family. But on some of the statements that I've been hearing about, he was not the one that brought the Māori language to this country in terms of education and training. It was people like Pina Cooper who went down with the Māori Council. And this is a true story. I might have told you before. But they were too scared to confront Muldoon, so they got Pina to be their spokesperson. You know the old phrase, hiding behind a woman's skirts? And she put the case, and she's hardly been putting the case for the funding of Kōhungarell, and asked Puketapu and Whaiwhirirangi whether this is true or not. Muldoon should have been ongoing about 3.5-4 minutes. And he said, yes, you can have the money. And they left the room, but Finna couldn't help herself because they were stunned. They left the room, and she came back, put her head through the door and said, but Prime Minister, what about I asked you for $2 million? And Muldoon said to her, but you didn't, Finna. What's the moral of that story? If you'd asked for $3 to $5 million, he'd have said yes. Because he was in the Second World War with Māori Battalion, and he was astonished how quickly the Māori soldiers learnt Italian, much more quickly than Europeans could. And he understood that part. It's a not told story, but that's the beginnings of Kōhungarell funding in this country, and that's the truth. And I remember it.
Tēnā koe. Look, commentators are suggesting a change of government here is inevitable. I'm sure that Hipkins and his crew will fight tooth and nail going into the election. You've been around a long time, Winston, and every dog has its day. I'm not referring to you at all. If there is a change of government, is that complete dissatisfaction with the economic climate, with poor performance, or is it just the reality of the cyclical nature of New Zealand politics?
Look, the Labour Party went into the 2020 election taking all the credit for what they did and a massive number of national voters, about 455,000 when it wasn't voted for them and so did others. They took all the credit for everything which they were not responsible for. But when New Zealand first left, the thing turned into a mess. Now, whether the viewers or listeners like that or not, that's the truth. It's been one disaster after another, and this election, the Labour Party will be out. But the real question is, do we get a much better government, a much more confident government, a much more experienced government, or do we have the same as we've had before? That would be a disaster. So that's the way it's in the panning at the moment. And you can't have that many, you know, disasters one after the other, and all the critical things that you're meant to be doing are falling through the cracks, so to speak. And a lot of Labor all-time supporters are aghast at what's happening here, as far as they're concerned.
Oh, we'll have to get Willie Jackson to do a rendition on TikTok, and it might up their fortunes there, Winston. Or it could seriously damage them. We're not quite sure. Have you heard his version of Solidarity Forever?
No, but I think he might be singing that same version that John Rolfe sang. The song was called The Night We Called It a Day.
Have a good week. We'll catch up with you again soon. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
See you, bye. Winston Peters. Love him or loathe him, he's got skin in the game.